I'm still with you. I should have introduced myself earlier. John Lott, Aquatic Section Chief, stationed in Pier. And this afternoon, I have the pleasure of going over the finalizations for the regulation proposals or changes in regulations proposed at the July Commission meeting by the Commission. And I'd ask that you turn to page or agenda item 10. A and B in your commission book. And we have a number of recommend or proposed changes for consideration by the commission today. If it pleases the chair, I'll just begin with the first one and go through that and ask the commission to address them as we go.
That's ideal. If you just, when you're ready for us to take action, just let me know.
Okay, I will do that. Then starting on that first page, again, the page titled Agenda Items 10A and B. The first proposed change by the commission is removing restrictions on when ice shelters can be left overnight on public waters. And there is a department recommended change from proposal on this, resulting from our annual South Dakota-Minnesota border water meeting. Currently, with regards to ice shacks on the ice, they cannot be left overnight unoccupied after the 28th of February. The idea being that if, as you approach the end of the ice fishing season, the ice may be unsafe, or an ice shack that's been out there the whole season may have been melted into the surface of the ice, and you may have anglers who decide not to retrieve it or they're unable to. In the past, that was certainly the case. A lot of the ice shacks were homemade, inexpensive. However, these days, the shacks we're seeing on the ice that are being used for overnight stay are commercially manufactured items that are a large investment for people. As a result, we don't see shacks that are being left on the ice like that. So the idea here is removing the removal dates on ice shacks. The recommended change from proposal would be that the ice shack removal date would be removed for inland bodies of water. But on the Minnesota-South Dakota border waters, the removal date would actually change from February 28th to March the 5th to match the state of Minnesota. Currently on the Minnesota border waters, the state of Minnesota has a March 5th date. If South Dakota had no date on the border waters, that would create a lot of confusion for the anglers and for law enforcement. So actually keeping the date on the border waters and moving it about a week later to match Minnesota is the recommended change from proposal.
Is this where you're supposed to remind me that we're going to take action?
This is where I believe I remind you that you need to take action considering the amendment to the proposal and then the amended proposal.
Very well. I wasn't going to move until you told me. So,
okay.
With that, with that, I would look forward to a motion to amend.
Move to amend.
Been a motion by Whitmire,
second.
Amend, seconded by Locken to amend. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now we need to move the finalization as amended.
Move to approve.
And say you don't get paid any more or less if you make the motion. So,
second.
Motion by Locken, or Whitmire, seconded by Locken to move the finalization as amended. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Finalization has been adopted. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Mr. Chair, the second item that that the commission proposed at their July meeting was removing language in an administrative rule that states the specifications on the equipment that you're allowed to use to take smelt in the spring. Last year, the restrictions on the types of equipment or gear, if you will, the traps, the seines, things of that nature that the anglers were able to use to take bait for non-commercial purposes, those restrictions were removed. And in administrative rule, it simply states that the gear restrictions for taking smelt are the same as for non-commercial bait. So basically, this would just remove that piece of language in the rule that is no longer needed because there are no restrictions. And with that, it's ready for commission action.
Very well. Is there a motion?
Or I'll answer questions if you should have them.
We always don't want to skip over the important part. Anybody have any questions for John on that? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
Second.
Motion by Bartling, seconded by Ristler. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks. Go ahead, John.
Mr. Chair, the third proposal on this particular action sheet involves size restrictions on largemouth and smallmouth bass. The current proposal includes removing the minimum length for largemouth and smallmouth bass on Burke Lake in Gregory County, and also placing a 15-inch minimum in place again on Lake Mitchell for largemouth and smallmouth bass. On Burke Lake, information from fish population surveys indicates that the regulation is not having an effect. Where on Lake Mitchell, it's believed that by applying the regulation again, it will help to increase abundance of largemouth bass in that particular lake in association with restocking efforts.
Very well. Any questions for John on either of those? We're able to move those as one, right? They're both just under fish size and regulation. Good. Okay. I'd entertain a motion. Motion by Bartling, seconded by Spring. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Mr.
Batten, 100%.
I'm doing great, 100% so far. So, in fact, the only change to proposals already occurred. So, on sheets titled Agenda Item Number 10C on importation of fish, there is a proposed change again from the July Commission meeting. Basically, in the importation rules, there is a reference to types of fish diseases. And what this change will do is update the language in there to match the diseases that are included in administrative rule elsewhere. We a year ago or so, we changed from categories of diseases to diseases for specific types of fish like catfish or bass. And specifically, we moved more towards just some general language, if you will, that's shown in the rule markups. It's basically we're moving towards terms like regulatory concern rather than a more complicated terms, if you will. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? If there's no questions, I'd entertain a motion. Motion by Bartling. Seconded by Whitmire. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, on the page titled Agenda Item 10D, there are two proposed changes in the HoopNet TRAF set line and float line regulations. The first would be reducing the TRAF check time or the check time for HoopNets or set lines and traps from 72 hours to 24 hours. This change would be to reduce the mortality of any bycatch in a trap. And it would also then match up with our bordering state of Nebraska with regards to the main area of the state that these methods of take are used for fish. Be happy to answer any questions on that one.
Yeah, easy one. Any questions for John on that 10D? If not, I'd entertain a motion. Hello. Motion by Bees, seconded by Ristler. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. John, I think 10E takes us to paddlefish.
There's one more there on that same sheet regarding assistance in running trap nets, set lines, hoop nets, and float lines. The item number two under proposed changes. It basically allows a person to either help or assist in the